So somehow today we have three major events on one day. It wasn't supposed to be like that, but somehow Gundicha Marjana should come on the Pratipad, and today's Amavasya, which is Bhaktivinoda's disappearance day, and Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day. But somehow the Pratipad has disappeared, because tomorrow's Dvitiya, Rath Yatra. So Gundicha Marjana has come on the same day. So somehow we'll try to do justice to all three. I don't know how we'll manage, but anyway. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavanandigam Aradhanas Trinandandai Vridham Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padamujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sri Gundicha Mandiram Atma Vrindai Samarajam Chalat Danta Sagura Swachita Vachachitalam Ujvalam Cha Krishna Upaveshopaya Kani Chakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the Gundicha temple with his devotees and associates. In this way he made it as cool and bright as his own heart, and thus he made the temple a befitting place for Sri Krishna to sit. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktaganna Sakti Deha Kariyena Chaitanya Varnana. The next day, early in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him and with his own hands smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hand, and taking all of them personally with him, the Lord went to Gundicha. In this way, the Lord and his associates went to cleanse the Gundicha temple. At first, they cleansed the temple with the brooms. The Lord cleansed everything inside the temple very nicely, including the ceiling. He then took up the sitting place, Singhasan, and cleansed it again and again, and put it in its original place. The Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temple's buildings, big and small, and finally cleansed the area between the temple and the Kirtan hall. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operation just to instruct others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleansed the temple in great jubilation, chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna all the time. Similarly, all the devotees were also chanting and at the same time performing their prospective duties. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way, it became transcendentally beautiful. At times, when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places, even cleansed with those tears. After this, the place where the Lord's eating food was kept, Bhoga Mandir, was cleansed. Then the yard was cleansed, and then all the residential quarters, one after another. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collected all the straw, dust, and grains of sand in one place, he gathered it all in his cloth and threw it outside. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths and throw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, "I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleansed the temple simply by seeing all the straw and dust you have collected outside." Even though all the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater. After the inside of the temple was cleansed, the Lord again allotted areas for the devotees to cleanse. The Lord then ordered everyone to cleanse the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas cleansed the temple for the second time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see the cleansing work. While the temple was being swept, about 100 men stood ready with filled water pots, and they simply awaited the Lord's order to throw the water from them. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for water, all the men immediately brought 100 water pots, which were completely filled, and delivered them before the Lord. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, singhasana, and everything else within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees began to throw water on the ceiling. When this water fell, it washed the walls and floor. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to wash the sitting place of Lord Jagannath with his own hands, and all the devotees began to bring water to the Lord. All the devotees within the temple began to wash. Each one had a broom in his hand. In this way, they cleansed the temple of the Lord. Someone brought water to pour into the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Someone poured water on his lotus feet. The water that fell from the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was drunk by someone else who hid himself. Someone else begged for that water, and another person was giving that water in charity. After the room was washed, the water was let out through an outlet, and then it flowed and filled the yard outside. The Lord mopped the rooms with his own clothes, and he polished the throne with them also. In this way, all the rooms were cleansed with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleansed, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. When the temple was cleansed, it was purified, cool, and pleasing, just as the Lord's own pure mind, as if the Lord's own pure mind had appeared. Since hundreds of men were engaged in bringing water from the lake, there was no place to stand on the banks. Consequently, some began to draw water from a well. Hundreds of devotees brought water in the pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. With the exception of Nityananda Advaita Swarup Damodar, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, everyone was engaged in filling water pots and bringing them there. Many of the water pots were broken when people collided with one another, and hundreds of men had to bring new water pots to fill. Some people were filling the pots and others were washing the rooms, but everyone was engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and Hari, Krishna, Krishna. Loudly, Krishna, Krishna, Hari, 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 Hari. One person begged for a water pot by chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Another devotee delivered that pot chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everything, indication for everyone who wanted something. Krishna, Krishna! Hari, Hari! Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love. He himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It had appeared as though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached every devotee just to teach him how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw someone who's not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge. The Lord actually, he praised those who were doing good in a way that he actually chastised them. He would say, "You have done well, why you're not teaching others how to do so well?" As soon as they heard Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say this, everyone became ashamed. Thus the devotees began to work with great determination and attention. They washed the Jagmohan area, and then the place where food was kept. All other places were also washed. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting place, the kitchen, and every other room. Thus all places around the temple were thoroughly washed within and without. After everything was thoroughly washed, a Vaishnava from Bengal, who was very intelligent and simple, came and poured water on the lotus feet of the Lord. That Gaudiya Vaishnava then took that water and drank it himself. Seeing that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little unhappy and was also outwardly angry. Although the Lord was certainly satisfied within him, he became angry externally in order to establish the etiquette of religious principles. The Lord then called for Swarup Damodar and told him, "Just see the behavior of your Bengali Vaishnav. This person from Bengal has washed my feet within the temple of the personality of Godhead. Not only that, but he has drunk the water himself. I do not know what my destination is because of that offense. Indeed, your Bengali Vaishnava has greatly implicated me." At this point, Swarup Damodar caught that Vaishnava by the neck and, giving him a little push, ejected him from Gundicha Mandir and made him stay outside. After Swarup Goswami returned within the temple, he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to excuse that innocent person. After this incident, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. He then asked all the devotees to sit down in two lines on both sides. The Lord then personally sat down in the middle and picked up all kinds of straw and grains of sand and dirty things. Still, they've already cleaned it twice, still. While Sri Chaitanya was picking up the straws and grains of sand, "I shall gather everyone's collection. I shall ask whoever has collected less than all the others to pay a fine of sweet cakes and sweet rice." Whoever collects, we're going to do Gundicha Marjana today at 1 o'clock, so whoever does less cleaning will have to pay a fine. In this way, all the quarters of Gundicha temple were cleansed and cleared. All quarters were cool and spotless, like one's cleansed and pacified mind. When the water from different rooms was finally let out through the wall, through the halls, it appeared as if new rivers were rushing out to meet the waters of the ocean. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed, and no one could tell exactly how this was done. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the Nrisimha temple inside and outside. Finally, he rested a few minutes, then he began dancing. All around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees performed congregational chanting. The Lord, just like a maddened lion, danced in the middle. As usual, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, there was perspiration, trembling, fading, tears, jubilation, and roaring. Indeed, the tears from his eyes washed his body and those before him. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the bodies of the devotees with the tears from his eyes. The tears poured from like rains in the month of Shravan. The sky was filled with great loud chanting of Sankirtan, and the earth shook from the jumping and dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always liked the loud chanting of Swarup Damodar. Therefore, when Swarup Damodar sang, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high in jubilation. The Lord thus chanted and danced for some time. Finally understanding the circumstance, he stopped. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ordered Sri Gopal, the son of Advaitacharya, to dance. While dancing in static love, Sri Gopal fainted and fell to the ground. When Sri Gopal fainted, Advaita hastily took him on his lap. Seeing that he was not breathing, he became greatly agitated. Advaita and others began to chant the holy name of Lord Nrisinga and sprinkle water. The roaring of the chant was so great it seemed to shake the entire universe. When the boy did not regain consciousness after some time, Advaitacharya and other devotees began to cry. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his hand on the chest of Sri Gopal and said, Gopal, stand up, uto, uto. As soon as Gopal heard the voice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately came to his senses. All devotees then began to dance, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. This incident has been described in detail by Vrindavan Das Thakur, therefore I have described it only in brief. After taking rest, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees departed to take their baths. So this is the description of Gundicha Marjana. One time we personally took part. What year was that, Pundrik? 93 or 92? We've forgotten. Anyway, one of those first time that Rath Yatra was ever on TV. Pundrik and myself and some other devotees, we went to Puri. So we're not allowed inside the and all somehow all the Namahata devotees usually go to Calcutta Rath Yatra. All the Mayapur devotees came to Puri to take part in Rath Yatra. So there was Bhadra, what is his name? Fat Uriya devotee, Bhadra. Bhadrachara. So he decided to arrange all of the Mayapur Namahata devotees, all these Khan devotees together to go to Gundicha and do Gundicha Marjana. Now they don't allow, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was white, golden in complexion, they don't allow golden complexion devotees to enter. So I told Bhadra, Charu, that you arrange some buckets and some brooms, and we'll wash the entrance way because we can't go inside. But Lord Jagannath has to go through the entrance, and it's filled with trash and plastic and everything, and garbage and sand. And just bring us some brooms and some buckets. So all the other devotees, they all went inside, and we were outside sweeping all the sand off of the walkway and bringing buckets of water and splashing it everywhere, and having grand old time doing Gundicha Marjana, and we'd sweep up all this dirt, you know, and then pick it up with our hands. And the Bengali devotees, pilgrims, they were so impressed, they would grab the brooms out of our hands and they would grab the dirt from our hands, and we had a big pile where we burned up all the trash and everything, and they would take the buckets out of our hand and throw the water. We had cleaned out the whole entrance was perfectly clean. Because we saw all the pilgrims are coming. They had a little chai cup full of water and about two sticks to represent their broom. They were all going inside, you know. They would stop and take the brooms out of our hands and take the buckets out of our hands. So in this way, one year, at least Pundrik and I and a few other devotees, we were fortunate to at least do Gundicha Marjana outside the temple. Here's the Mahaprabhu also cleaned outside the temple. Ordinarily everybody just wants to run inside, and where the Singhasan is, they pour the little chai cup of water and two little sticks of a broom, they sweep. So anyway, today is also the holy disappearance day of Bhaktivinod Thakur. It is by the unlimited causeless mercy of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur that we're sitting here today in this Sri Vrindavan Dham, where Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes are going on even today, for those who have the eyes to see. In that Sri Vrindavan Dham, we're sitting in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, which was a neglected place, but it was glanced on by a pure devotee who said, let there be a temple, and a glorious temple is manifest here. The most beautiful temple in whole Sri Vrindavan. It is the Amavasya day of the month of Jaisa. On this Amavasya day, I think it was 1914, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So, we're eternally indebted to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur because he rescued the Vaishnava faith from degradation. Nobody who was intelligent paid any attention to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because it had become degraded. People were thinking this is a religion where we can perform sex. This is a religion where you can go chanting on the street and beg money and live at the expense of society. People thought Vaishnava just meant somebody who's beggar living at the expense of society. But Bhaktivinoda tirelessly worked day and night to rescue the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from this situation and show the divine, sublime philosophy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meant to give to the world. And he's the first in our Guru Parampara to preach in a language outside of the Indian languages. That for all of the devotees who are in foreign bodies, we're deeply indebted to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In fact, he was the first to print books in English language. His one book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, reached McGill University in 1896, which also happened to be the birth year of our Divine Master, Srila Prabhupada. So this is very indicative. That year of Prabhupada's appearance, his book, English book, reached the shores of the English-speaking world. So we're extremely indebted to the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born into opulent circumstances in the year of 1838. And he was given the name Kedarnath Datta. But although born in opulent circumstances, he had to face many difficulties. At the age of 13, his father died. He was raised up by his maternal grandfather and grandmother at Ulagram, Birnagar. And then later he came to Calcutta. While he was staying in Calcutta, he had a very famous paternal grandfather, Raj Ballabha Datta, who lived in Puri, and he was known as a great ascetic. He had retired and performing penance and austerities and studying the scriptures. He was a mystical type of person. He could understand the time when he would leave his body. So he called for Kedarnath, his young grandson, to be present at the time of death and gave him many instructions. And then by his own sweet will, he left this world. And he specifically mentioned that in Orissa there was many lands owned by him. Specifically in Choti Mangalpur, there was one, that whole village belonged to him. So after the disappearance of his grandfather, he took a tour of all these different places, holy places of Puri, and he also visited Choti Mangalpur. And then he wrote a book mentioning all the different ashrams in Orissa. He says, "I have a small village, Choti Mangalpur, in the country of Orissa, of which I am the proprietor. In that village is a religious house which was granted by my predecessors to the holy men as a holding of rent-free land. The head of the institution entirely gave up entertaining such men as chance to seek shelter on a rainy night. This came to my notice, and I administered a severe threat that his lands would be cruelly resumed if in the future complaints of inhospitality were brought to my knowledge." So even as a young man, he was very powerful. He chastised his fellow like anything. After this, he entered into the government service. And was transferred to Bengal. And there he began to study and speak on the Bhagavatam. And he admits that things had got to such a situation that it was very difficult at that time to find a copy of Bhagavatam. We can't imagine now. Now devotees are running all over the world with book bags full of Bhagavatams and placing them in the hands of people in the airports and on the streets and parking lots. Bhagavatam is everywhere, but there was such a time when there was not available. With great difficulty he began to study, and he understood the deep truth of the Bhagavatam. His lectures attracted thousands of people. From there he was transferred from Bengal, he was transferred to Champaran. And there was a Brahmadaitya who lived in a banyan tree. So one fellow came begging alms to Bhaktivinoda. He said, "All right, I will give you alms. Would you take the Bhagavatam and sit under that banyan tree and recite the entire Bhagavatam?" A Brahmadaitya is a type of ghost. After 1 month, he completed the Bhagavatam. And that tree crashed to the ground and the ghost was gone forever. All the citizens were very happy except for a few dishonest souls who were worshipping that ghost in that tree. Next, Bhaktivinoda moved to Puri, where he was appointed as deputy magistrate. Now this was amazing, magistrate or deputy magistrate. In British times, this was only for Britishers, but Bhaktivinoda was so efficient that even the Britishers appreciated him and they gave him such a high post. And there were many practices that were not going on well within the temple, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur got rid of all the irregular practices, and he brought the times for offerings, they were also irregular, to a very, very punctual time. Then there was one fellow, the government asked him to look into the case of this Bisi Kishena. He was claiming to be the incarnation of Mahavishnu, and that he was going to throw all the Britishers out of India. So because the British were ruling, this was very dangerous for them. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't so interested in helping the British as quelling down people who claim to be God. This is very common, especially in this Kali Yuga. People are always claiming to be God or incarnation of God. I was this one, I was that one, now I come as this one. So we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when anybody recognized him, he was actually God. But anybody recognized, oh, Vishnu, 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 he became very angry and closed his ears. Especially this is common in India because labor is cheap here. So Prabhupada said they have a factory manufacturing incarnations and exporting them. All over the world you can go, you'll find 14-year-old incarnation of God and this and that, so many, all exported. So Bhaktivinoda entered that village with some policemen. And without even any introduction, Bisi Kishena said, Bhaktivinoda. I guess that time he was known as Kedarnath. Kedarnath, you'd better leave here. He didn't even know, he hadn't even been introduced, but he knew his name. And he was in plain clothes. The policemen were also in plain clothes. But Bhaktivinoda told the police to arrest him, and then he began to show some mystical tricks. So the police were frightened. So Bhaktivinoda grabbed him himself, and they threw him in prison. Then all of Bhaktivinoda's family became down with fever. All his children, his wife was begging, please let this guy go. Is it worth it that our whole family die just to chastise this fellow? But Bhaktivinoda was firm in his vow to curb down all such so-called imposter incarnations of God. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur got fever, and he was deathly sick, lying on his bed, and the time for court was appearing. And I don't know if there's a picture here, but you may have seen the pictures of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. No, there's no picture. You may have seen very robust, handsome, this very nice Puri type of cap, you know, very nicely dressed, very handsome, robust fellow. But he was lying on the bed, burning with fever. The time for the appearance in court was coming. Everybody was sitting in the court. Suddenly the court doors burst open and Bhaktivinoda walked in. He sat down and gave his ruling that this fellow is an imposter God and he's creating trouble. He should be thrown in jail. The needy, that fellow, he began to put sparks from his hair. But there was one Britisher there. He had read somewhere that yogis keep their power in their hair. So he took some scissors and from behind cut off all his hair, and the fellow fell down completely helpless. And then he was thrown in jail. And Bhaktivinoda's family was free from fever, and later, because now he was so weak, he finally left his body. Then there later was a Balaram incarnation imposter. Bhaktivinoda cut down all such imposters. So though Bhaktivinoda externally wasn't a show off, but still his power was very great. And Puri, then he began to publish. One of the first books he published was Kalyana Kalpataru, from which this Biba Bari Shesha, which we sing every morning here in Vrindavan. This is practically on the same level as the works of Narottam Das Thakur. Not practically, it is on the same level. The works of Narottam Das Thakur and all of these songs, Narottam songs and Bhaktivinoda songs, we know were very dear to our Prabhupada. And then he started his Sajana Tosani, the satisfaction of the pure devotees. And the Educated Society was very pleased to receive this magazine, Sajjana Toshini, every month when it was published. And then he published Sri Krishna Samhita, which our Pundarik has also published in English, translated by Bhumipati and published and edited by our Pundarik Prabhu. And he was working tirelessly. And especially this Sri Krishna Samhita presented the truth of Sri Krishna, because everybody thought Krishna is, even now today, they think Krishna is just an erotic person who danced with other people's wives. They don't know the divine truth and the sublime philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavat. So Bhaktivinoda established Sri Krishna as the Parabrahma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. And finally, he went to Vrindavan and visited many places, and he heard of, there was a group of powerful bandits called Kanjaras, and they were spread out all over the roads. And as the pilgrims were traveling from just like here to Radhakund, now we go very quickly, but you traveled by foot, and the bandits were robbing the pilgrims. So Bhaktivinoda, since he was in the government, he brought it to the government's association. After many months of struggles, he managed to get all these bandits extirpated from the land of Vrindavan, and thus pilgrims were able to freely visit all of the holy places. Later he was staying at Barasat. When you leave the Dum Dum airport to take your taxi to Mayapur, the first place you come is Barasat. And there was a very famous fellow named Bankim Chandra, who was a playwright. But he had so many Western ideas, and he wrote a book about the Srimad Bhagavatam, but filled with all Western stylized speculations. But he knew if he got Bhaktivinoda Thakur to endorse his book, people would read it. And Bhaktivinoda was spent many days sitting with him, and he managed to kick out all of these Western ideas. And later he had Bankim Chandra. He wrote a book, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and Bankim Chandra wrote the foreword saying that this Bhaktivinoda has saved the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the benefit of the world. So finally Bhaktivinoda, he was very anxious to see the land of Lord Chaitanya. So he again and again applied for posting somewhere near Mayapur, but they never got the posting. So finally he told them, all right, if I cannot get posting, then I resign. But such a valuable person, they didn't want to lose, so then they gave him posting in Krishnanagar, which was just near Mayapur. Every minute that was free of his time, he would be wandering the lands, searching out the places of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He soon discovered that the now town of Navadvip was only a town of 100 years, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 400 years before. So he didn't believe that, although many people were claiming this was the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't believe it because the Ganga was always shifting, and this now known as Navadvip was only a town that time 100 years. So he made many, many inquiries, and finally people said the Ganga shifted so many times, it's lost. But he found very, very old maps, and from all the descriptions, it described that Mayapur was on the eastern side, eastern bank, and Navadvip is on the western bank. And right near Yogapit, there's a big lake called Balal Digi that was dug by King Balal Sen, who lived in Mayapur. So his lake that he dug out, that became famous by his name, Balal Sen, that became Balal Digi, how was it on this side of the river when they were claiming that Navadvip was on that side of the river? And then he found there were some very ancient realized souls who were worshipping a certain spot that belonged to the Mohammedans. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was certain that this was the place, but he wanted to get confirmation from his that time he was the Siksha disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. At that time Jagannath Das Babaji, he was so old he had to be carried in a basket. And he had his, I can't remember the name of his servant carrying him in his, they brought him to that place. Only Tulsi grew there. The Mohammedans were upset. They wanted to grow rice, but only Tulsi grew on that place. And they brought Jagannath Das Babaji, who had to be carried in a basket. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't even hold his head up. Even his eyelids, when he went to see, it had to pull his eyelids up to see. But as soon as they opened the basket and he saw the place, that person who couldn't walk, had to be carrying a basket, jumped 10 feet in the air. Haribo! 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 So he confirmed that this was the actual spot. Then Bhaktivinoda arranged to purchase that land. And then the Amrita Bazar Patrika newspaper, very famous newspaper, still in Calcutta, in December 6, 1894, the following article appeared. Baba Kedarnath Dutta, the distinguished deputy magistrate, who has just retired from the service, is one of the most active members. Indeed, Baba Kedarnath Dutta has been deputed by his committee to raise subscriptions in Calcutta and elsewhere, and is determined to go from house to house, if necessary, and beg a rupee from each Hindu gentleman. Rupee was a lot of money in those days. For the noble purpose. If Baba Kedarnath Dutta sticks to his resolution of going around with a bag, begging bag in hand, we hope that no Hindu gentleman whose house may be honored by the presence of such a devout bhakta as Baba Kedarnath Dutta will send him away without contributing his mite, however humble it may be, to the Gaur Vishnupriya Temple Fund. It says Bhaktivinoda, he went to, even to the houses of his political enemies. He never would have gone to their houses for any other purpose except for the purpose of building the Yogapith Temple. And he was, of course, very successful. Yogapith Temple was established. Somewhere it says here the year. Somewhere around that time, 1886, 95 and 96. Then he also established in Calcutta Bhakti Bhavan, from where he was preaching to the intelligent class of people. As I said before, at that time Vaishnavism was considered just an excuse for begging. So he established his Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta. He established the Visvaraja Sabha, Vaishnava Visvaraja Sabha, and many eminent persons became involved with his Sabha. In this way, Bhaktivinoda was tirelessly, he would do his work in the day, and then in the night he would write his books and write correspondence trying to get people to understand the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eventually, he established a house at Sri Gaudramadweep, Sri Swananda Sukhada Kunj. And here the preaching of Harinam continued in full swing. Later, in the beginning of the 20th century, he moved to Puri, and just kitty corner from the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, he established Bhakti Bhavan. And now ISKCON managed, that was completely captured by so many encroachers, but somehow the devotees managed to get that place, get rid of all the encroachments. Unfortunately, they smashed the original Bhakti Bhavan just to build a restaurant. So everybody's upset about that, but at least we have that place where Bhakti Vinod stayed, did his bhajan. And finally, in the year 1910, at Bhakti Bhavan used to meet so many people, used to come from all over India to meet him and get blessings and spiritual instruction from him. And finally in 1910 he shut himself up and remained in complete samadhi on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on this day, this Amavasya day of the month of Jaist in 1914, Bhaktivinoda entered into the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So we have a few minutes left. Today is also the disappearance of Gadadhar Pandit. We know in the Pancha Tattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. The Lord Chaitanya revealed himself in five features. Three are the worshipful Lord, and two features are the worshipping potency. So we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Swayam Bhagwan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Then Nityananda Prabhu is his first expansion, Balaram, and Advaita Prabhu is sometimes said to be expansion of Mahavishnu, sometimes Sadashiv. Then Gadadhar, he's Shakti Tattva. He represents Srimati Radharani. And then Srivas represents the devotee. So Shakti and the devotee, they're both, that's Jiva Tattva, they're both worshipping the Lord, whereas Mahavishnu, Balaram and Lord are the worshipful lordships. So we know internal potency means Srimati Radharani, but Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken the bhav of Radharani and duty complexion. So Gadadhar is like empty shell. We always see that Radharani, she's always in very bama, feisty type of mood, very hot tempered. But Gadadhar Pandit, he's very meek and humble. Because now that bhav has been taken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so only empty shell is there of Radha. And we see he's always very submissive and he never speaks up to the Lord. In fact, my part in the great Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon one time, I was president of Portland, Oregon. We went down south to California, to LA. And I was innocently walking down the street and Jadarani came out and said, "Hey you, come here, we need you." And they had me pose for different pictures for, because the artists were there in a big marathon. So one of the pictures was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving Puri to go back to Vrindavan, I believe. Gadadhar Pandit had taken Kshetra Sannyas and he wanted to go, but Mahaprabhu stopped him. So Mahaprabhu's standing in the boat and he's motioning like that, taking back to Puri. So that was me. They took a picture of me motioning like this, standing in the middle of a boat. And then Gadadhar Pandit, he's fainting. And Jadarani wasn't satisfied. They had to take the picture many times, my fainting like this. Finally they got a fainting Gadadhar. So, and one interesting thing, because Gadadhar was worshipping Tota Gopinath. And I always heard that it was because Gadadhar in his old age, he couldn't reach to put the garland that Tota Gopinath sat down. But Bhakti Purushottam Swami, who's very learned in all these things, actually, he says, Gadadhar and Mahaprabhu were classmates, so they weren't, he wasn't that old. But he couldn't maintain himself after Mahaprabhu left this world. He left this world and gave over the service to Mama Thakur. And it was Mama Thakur who was very old. He was Mama, he was the older uncle. So when he was unable, then Tote Gopinath sat down. Well, I'd always heard it was Gadadhar, but Bhakti Purushottam Swami, during Puri Mandal Prakrama, Sri Kshetra Mandal Prakrama, he told us this story. But anyway, that very beautiful deity is there of Gadadhar Pandit in Puri. Tota Gopinath, very enchanting. And one of the versions of Mahaprabhu's disappearance is he merged into that deity. They say there's a little crack in his leg. Sometimes you can see golden crack where Lord entered into the deity of... But anyway, we have been given specially this Panchatattva Mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda. And in the purports, Prabhupada very emphatically explains that we should chant this mantra. Specifically, we should chant this mantra before we chant Hare Krishna, because we can get rid of all of our offenses by chanting this mantra. And he said people make up different mantras. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radhe Govinda. He said they can chant according to their way, but the authorized way is to chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda. So we should chant all these five names and become purified to chant the holy name properly. So we've run out of time. If anybody has any questions, we can entertain a couple of questions. And then, since we're fasting today, and this afternoon, usually we do the Puspanjali at 1 o'clock, but 1 o'clock when temple closes, we're going to do Gundi Chamarjanam, cleaning all the way up. He said the Lord was throwing water all the way up to the ceiling, so I don't know if we're going to do that, but anyway. So we're going to have our Puspanjali now.